He's been really good since we watched the plays. You know, him and I watched the plays, you know, on Monday morning. He comes into my office and really good there. It's really good, you know, with the players, you know, owning up to everything and, you know, taking responsibility for performance and for and accountability. That's what you need from leaders on the football team, not just him. And then moving forward to coming in this morning and figuring out what we're doing, how we're doing it, you know, and having conversations with him. And I think that he's in a good spot.
Now we can picture those conversations thanks to Hard Knocks. We can actually see Caleb sitting there across the desk. And, you know, Kevin Fishbane told us that when he went to do that wonderful story that he did with Matt Eberflus and watching film with him, that the elaborate security to get to
his office.
People, I mean, the older generation, he was comparing it to the opening scene of Get Smart, where, like, you're moving through this. You got to take, you know, the retinal scan and scan your palm and get, you know, the pass key to this and to this and to this, to the inner sanctum, where finally there's Matt Eberflus watching film.
I mean, that's appropriate, because we live in a time where security has been advanced.
Yeah, but, I mean, for Matt Eberflus?
Hey, see, that he's not just the Matt Eberflus that you think of. He is the Bears head coach, Matt Eberflus.
We're a long way from back in the day. And I'm trying to remember, when you were in Philly,
okay,
did you spend time up at their practice facility?
Yeah, NovaCare Complex.
Yeah, so that was probably already one of the state-of-the-art places. Like old Hallis Hall, not this Hallis Hall, but the old one on Washington, as Ditka used to say. I mean, anybody could just walk in. Like, it was like a house.
It was
literally like a house on the street, surrounded by other houses. It just happened to have a big backyard where they would practice. I'm not kidding. Or it looked like a community, like a small community center. And there were no fences. There was a parking lot and off of Washington. And then people would.
So anybody could just pull up to practice?
Anybody. And not to practice, but to the press room.
Okay.
They could walk in the front door and, like, people would come in and use the bathroom in the press room.
What?
Yes. And, of course, Mulligan's seat was right next to the bathroom. So he was like the bathroom police. And he would like, who's this guy? Who's this gobshite? And I'm like, Mully, I don't think you can, you know. He's like, I don't know. Some guy just walked in. And seriously, random people would
walk in. So security
was
a little different is what you're saying.
Well, there wasn't any.
Now, if you...
And then Dave would come down. And I'd be like, hey, come up to my office for a second. And we'd go, they didn't care. You'd go up the stairs, you'd go into Brian Harlan's office, you go to the end of the hall, and then Dave would go, come on in. Hey, what'd you think of Brian Cox? What do you think? Pretty good, huh? Like, yeah.
What's wild Dave about now is I think the difference between now and then is because we have the internet and social media and everything else. Like, you think of whether it's security really is quote unquote security. Like, we are securing this place. No one can just come in and out. And think about, like, there's a gated house hall, and then you got to have, if you're a media, you got to have your ID to scan in to be able to enter the building.
No, it was hilarious. Anybody could walk into Hallis
Hall
and walk right into the press room.
Which is kind of scary when you think about it.
I guess we didn't think about it that way.
We did. There's a lot of things we didn't think about back then.
And I remember there were rumors that, Richard Dent is coming. Richard Dent's going to come back and play for the team. Richard Dent is coming. And, like, I don't know if he's going to show up. And then a car pulls up right in front, and Richard Dent gets out.
He just gets out.
And everybody stands there like, I guess Richard Dent is here. So we all just walked out and talked to him.
Yeah, everything's so different. Like, the NovaCare complex, literally, you can't even, like, really see into it. You have to, like, it's a big gate to just get into it. Because it's right there in South Philly. Like,
I know. It's like military.
Yeah, it's military-style compound.
They all are now. We heard from C.J. Stroud earlier when he was talking about Caleb Williams, and there was something near the end of that cut that I found interesting. But I wanted to get back to Caleb Williams yesterday. In some way, wrapping himself in overall quarterback play to maybe soften the blow of a difficult first game for him.
I more so was looking at, like, say, for instance, I was looking at the NFL this past weekend, and I'm looking at all the teams and things like that, and realizing that, like I've said in many other interviews, that, you know, the job is hard, NFL is hard. You know, the defense is going to make it tough on you. So, you know, that's what they're going to do day or week in and week out. So, you know, comparing, you know, that to, you know, myself, in his rookie year, you know, typically guys coming in, they have to figure it out and things like that. And so, you know, that's what we're doing right now. You know, I didn't have obviously the performance that I wanted to. So trying to figure it out as fast as possible and, you know, making sure that we're all on the same page, making sure that we're, you know, handling the things that we need to handle. Because like I said, all the small things become a lot larger on game day. And so, you know, make sure we handle those things, myself included, and progress from there. But, you know, speaking on that and getting back to what I was saying about the NFL, the guys in the NFL this week, quarterback-wise, you go and watch. It wasn't necessarily week 16 for even the guys that, you know, have been playing ball for 10, 15 plus years. It's, you know, it's always going to be a little rough patch. So understanding that, maintaining your confidence, if not growing it, because obviously, you know, realizing that you can, you know, keep getting better. And so that's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing. We're excited about it.
Guys have been doing this for 10, 15 plus years. Hey, I'm not the only guy that had a bad week. So I tend to think he's hearing that from his coaches too. Like, don't worry about it. Don't think all the pressure's on you. So let's go back and listen to what CJ Stroud said at the end of his comments. And remember, he wasn't asked about this. He was just asked about Caleb Williams. And this is something that I think CJ Stroud is noticing and hearing too.
I really didn't get to watch much of him. I just watched the defense, but he's definitely a playmaker, somebody who can extend plays and, you know, make all the cool throws. A tough player, take hits, and really, really talented. So, you know, I definitely do think that he has great things coming in his career. And I definitely do think, like, he'll get his rhythm going. And, you know, it takes time. It's not something that doesn't happen overnight. You can see in every quarterback this week, I think, except for probably Baker Mayfield, who looked really good. Everybody's kind of rusty, trying to just, you know, get those kinks out and get that rust away. And I think quarterback players start picking up week two, week three, week four, just like every year. So I definitely think he'll get his rhythm.
Who had Baker Mayfield as being the name of the guy they're singling out as the, of course, well, except for Baker Mayfield?
The Tampa Bucks front office. That's about it. The Buccaneers front office. That's about it. It's crazy because I was just looking at it because I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, I know we're going to be talking fantasy a little bit later, but like the QBs were giving nothing, right? Like there were four quarterbacks who accounted for three touchdowns last week. Four out of 32 starting quarterbacks in four. Baker Mayfield was one of them. He had four touchdown passes. You had Anthony Richardson, who threw for two, passed for one. Josh Allen threw for two, passed for two.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. Like, it wasn't great. It really just was not great.
And now the quick turnaround tonight for Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa.
There will be points scored in that game.
I agree with you.
Be a lot of points scored in that game.
So we should mention that tonight the Dolphins host the Bills on Thursday Night Football, and pregame coverage begins at 6:30, kickoff at 7:15 right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. And I have to remember to always say this, that enjoy quality Thursday Night Football early.
Before everybody's beaten down?
Before it sucks. Like, this is the time of year when, and maybe this is something to bring up with Charch as well, about how fantasy players look at the Thursday night game. This is, they're still haven't been in enough weekly equivalent car accidents yet that they can play representative NFL football.
Less people are limping than will be limping by, let's say, week 12. And I think that's, the ice tub is always going to get the work, but the necessary use of the ice tub is going to be so much more. I mentioned four quarterbacks. I forgot Derek Carr. He threw for three touchdowns as well. So those are the four quarterbacks who accounted for three touchdowns last week. And the Derek Carr game, by the way, the Saints beat the brakes off of Carolina, because I think everyone beats the brakes off of Carolina. That's a thing.
They're terrible.
Like, they're – no, like
– they're terrible.
I think they might be worse – this year than they were last year.
And someone got mad at me for saying this, and I'm not sure who's, I mean, as usual, I'm not sure who's mad or why, but I said that they may be NFL White Sox.
Woo! You can't just be throwing that around.
But they're so bad. Because
the equivalent of NFL White Sox is literally just going over.
Right.
Like, it would be Detroit Lions, the first 0-17 team.
Or it's the John McKay Buccaneers.
Okay. Because
when he said, "What do you think about your team's execution?" and he said, "I'm for it."
That's like,
yeah, it's they're bad. They're really bad.
They're really bad.
It's hard to be bad in the NFL,
but it's hard to watch that too. Like where we think of the NFL as the ultimate league of, you know, where 1 year you can be terrible, the next year you can be good, and same going the other way. But they look lifeless, and Bryce Young, I have questions.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about C.J. Stroud. We know who was taking when.
Uh huh.
Young was first. Stroud was second. Like, it really makes you question.
Ray, you were going to weigh in on something regarding Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, the quality of Thursday Night Football leading up to Week One. You know, Al Michaels is doing the press leading up to Week One, and he's happy with the slate of games. I guess NFL and Amazon must have been tired of him complaining about the quality of the games. He said he's delighted with the number of quality matchups this year.
I loved him crapping on the games he was doing.
Well, I guess executives were tired.
We played all of it. Remember, he was saying something like, "Well, you watch this garbage. This is like watching the fourth game on CBS."
They're paying Al Michaels way too much money to be taking a dump on the product.
No, you're Al Michaels. Who do you care? What does he care? He can go back and order his giant steak and pick the little pieces of parsley off it with a tweezers.
The parsley. Yeah.
He does that.
Steak. Yeah, no,
it's on the mashed potatoes or something. Like he removes the tiniest bits of everything.
No vegetables in that man's life. That, yeah. Absolutely insane.
And he's
God forbid.
I want him studied. I want him to dedicate his body to science. I think he's 75.
Let me look.
And just have him have something, because every kid, every toddler, every young person who has been bullied into eating their vegetables can point to Al Michaels eating vegetables. That man is still alive. It's like the Seinfeld bit. Remember the bit where and we all think it, with our elderly grandparents or elderly parents who have eaten nothing but chicken fat and salt and processed pastrami and bacon.
Or the person that smokes a pack of cigarettes a day and lives to 90 or 100 or whatever.
As one of my friends says, who is a doctor, he says, I believe he says 95% of health is simply the luck of your genetics.
Yeah, I believe that. He's 79 years old, by the way.
He's 79?
Yeah, Al Michaels. He'll be 80 on November 12th.
So he is my parents' age.
He'll be 80 on November 12th, and he's
never eaten a vegetable.
Functioning at a high level. I think we can all agree to that at that age. But that's what we talked about earlier before the show. I said, I don't mind living to 80 as long as I'm able to do stuff. It seems like he's able to do stuff.
You were talking about Derek Carr, too, in New Orleans. So you get the hurricane now. I just got the email and the all clear from Tulane that they're allowing people maybe to I think there's one more day of Zoom classes, and then they're allowing them out. And they say that the Hurricane Francine, whatever's left of it, is heading now to Mississippi and Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy.
That's usually how it goes. I will have to talk to my parents and be like, hey, everything good? Because the problem... my parents live an hour and a half south of Nashville, Tennessee. I know a lot of people are geographically challenged.
I can't even picture that. And a half south of Nashville.
So it's the top of the state. It's like 30 minutes from the Tennessee border.
But that's not Huntsville, right?
That's Huntsville.
Oh, yeah. Huntsville. Is that okay?
It's in northern. It's far northern Alabama.
I've been to Huntsville.
Okay.
They got a lot of my money in Huntsville.
So let me just tell you something. The problem with these hurricanes is not the hurricane itself. The number of tornadoes that they will have because of those winds is insane.
The embedded tornadoes?
Yeah, it's not fun. Tornadoes are,
I have hazy memories of a couple of nights in Huntsville.
Why were they so hazy, Dan? Time has taken its toll, or just the activities themselves took its toll?
When you're a young guy and fresh,
go get it, baby.
Fresh out of college and traveling with a pro basketball team, and what's happening in Huntsville?
Wait, what pro basketball team were you traveling with?
That was the Huntsville Lasers.
I have a Huntsville Lasers t-shirt.
No, you don't.
You know, I keep all my stuff. Huntsville Flight, Huntsville Lasers.
I think I've told you the story. That was one of the first times I got in trouble on the radio for something I said on the radio.
With the Lasers?
Because you remember the name of the Civic Center?
We've talked about
this. Yes, I told you.
Warner Von Braun, the Von Braun Civic Center.
It's the Warner Von Braun Civic
Center. And if you don't know the history, Google that.
And I'm
take a rabbit hole dive.
He was immensely important to, in maybe the single most important scientist in the U.S. space program.
Right.
Because he also invented the V-2 rocket for Hitler.
Right.
And I made a factual statement under my breath. People should have known what they were getting into in 1991. When I said, welcome back to the Von Braun Civic Center, the only pro basketball arena named after a Nazi.
You said nothing that was factually incorrect.
It's true.
And then, of course, the Americans.
Well, no, but people are like, why did you choose to say that? You could have easily not said that.
You were on your Vince Scully. You were like, I'm going to give you a little bit
more. But it's true.
I'm not saying
it's a fact.
It is a fact. What facts we choose to highlight over the airwaves can draw attention from the wrong crowds.
Indeed. That is advice that should be well taken. This segment brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Come out and hang. 670 The Score. We're broadcasting live from the Lake Street Plaza at Prue, this lovely park on a lovely day with all sorts of games and fun and things. So when we come back, Charge sets your fantasy team. So don't go anywhere. You have The Score.
Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. With Charge. Bernstein and Charge. Holmes on 670 The Score.
Football must be here if we are talking to our next guest. Paul Charchian joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. He's on Twitter at Paul Charchian, director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Hello, Charch. What's happening?
Nice to talk to you. It's exciting. We've got a great game coming up tonight. And, you know, Marshall, I remember your name coming up on WIP from time to time. Am I wrong about that?
You are definitely not wrong. I spent 11 years in Philly, and so I was a constant member of the Angelo Cataldi family and show, and doing some of my own stuff. But yes, and we have used you there, and you have guided me to some good decisions.
All right.
And hopefully you can do the same today, because I do have a specific my fantasy, because my fantasy team's more important than everybody else's.
Isn't that the truth? We love that. We love our fantasy teams and nobody else cares about them, but I care about yours, Marshall.
You know what? I love that. Here's one thing I want to start with. I have Tua Tagovailoa. We were just talking about the quality of Thursday night football games. I also have Lamar Jackson. I am going to start Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Am I doing the right thing?
Yeah, you are. And Tua looked great. I loved what we saw from Tua. Well, I mean, maybe great's a hair strong, but this is a trickier, I think trickier matchup this week for him in particular. Bill's defense, his pass defense has been good for years. It's good now. Rasul Douglas is fantastic. I think the Packers made a bad trade last year when they gave up on Rasul Douglas. So this feels like a much trickier matchup. And if, you know, I've still got starting grades on Tua, but you've got Lamar Jackson, and you know, every week you're gonna be starting him. You might have a tradable asset in Tua. That might be your angle here.
Our segment with Paul Charchian is sponsored by Corner Booth Pizza. Visit your local grocery store to try it today. Charch, before we get into some of the stuff with that game and around the league, would you assess, please, what you now know with one more data point regarding any Bears position players, skill position players, particularly the usage rate for Cole Kmet being surprisingly low?
Yeah, you know, we had heard rumblings that was going to be more of a shared time than we expected. And Gerald Everett ran 21 routes. Cole Kmet ran 11. That was a little bit surprising. And at this point, this is the worst case scenario for fantasy owners, is when your tight end is in a timeshare, you know, and it was already a sketchy tight end position from a fantasy standpoint. So for me, both guys droppable at this point. And yeah, I don't love the look of that. And obviously the whole offense, it was obviously a really disappointing game. The Tennessee secondary better than I think a lot of people thought. But what's your, you tell me, what's your level of optimism that we see a better version of the Bears offense in what is honestly a much harder matchup against Houston?
I wish I could answer that. I wish I could answer that easily, because there are so many new uncertainties going into this week regarding the instability of an offensive line that still seems to be coming together, whether or not Keenan Allen is actually hurt or not. And now with Roma Dunze likely out, and they may have to have a kick returner who isn't even really a wide receiver, possibly getting some snaps there. And what of Velus Jones? The answer, as usual, my honest answer, Charges, I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. This is, look, it's a tricky matchup. Houston's defense, way underrated. They allowed the fewest passing touchdowns last year. I think people don't realize how many strides they took. Will Anderson won Defensive Player of the Year last year. They added in Danielle Hunter. You guys remember from the Vikings. He is a game-changing defensive end. I don't see things getting a lot better in this matchup. It's going to be tricky, and you know, this just might be more of a work in process than we thought. I honestly thought the Bears offense was going to hit the ground running and that this thing was going to be great right out of the gate starting week one. And now I've tempered my enthusiasm a lot.
Oh, they're running. They were running to the ground last week. That's what happened. Their running game is still very much on a treadmill right now. Kind of local, but not. Jordan Love, he's out.
Yeah.
How much does Malik Willis change that Packers offense?
Oh, boy. Well, here we go. Do you guys, either of you know the passer rating you get if you spike the ball on every play?
No. What is that?
No.
39. Would you care to guess Malik Willis's passer rating in his three NFL starts?
I'm going to guess it's lower than 39.
I'm going to guess 42.
39.
Oh, exactly.
Exactly the same as spiking the ball on every play.
That's wild.
So the point being what?
The point being, well, and I will add a little more, fuel to the fire here. Now, and great. Okay. So his three starts were 2 years ago. So let's hope Malik Willis has gotten better in 2 years. Here's his completions in those three games. 6, 5, and 14. For 55, 80, and 99 yards. He has never thrown a touchdown. He has three picks. He has been a brutal passer to this point. Although, I'll mention this. He is 6 for 6 on passes behind the line of scrimmage. So I think we've found the Malik Willis, like, perfect target area behind the line of scrimmage. Colts are going to put 8 men near the line of scrimmage. They're going to take away the running game. They're going to take away the short passing. They're going to challenge Malik Willis to throw deep, something he's never done at the NFL level, and find out if Malik Willis has got the arm to beat him. And I don't, you know, based on what we saw 2 years ago anyway, I don't think he can. And that means most of my Packers are going to be on the bench this week.
So if you're in a league where you get extra points for behind the line of scrimmage passing, I think that would certainly be the guy for you. In the previous segment, Charge, we played both C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams referencing overall bad quarterbacking, essentially, and saying, look, there are veterans out there who just are getting started slowly, and maybe this is a new NFL thing because of the way the preseason works, that say, hey, there are a lot of inconsistent performances by people who we know are better at the position than they showed. To what extent is Joe Burrow one of those?
Yeah, this Burrow thing is really, really dicey. Have you guys seen the video of Burrow repeatedly flexing his wrist on the sidelines?
Trying to drink a water bottle, right? That was his answer.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, he says that he's a habitual wrist flexor now. He flexes his wrist all the time. He flexes at home. He flexes at the facility. He flexes in the huddle. I'm like, all right. Well, maybe that's the case, but I get a little bit worried if the state of his wrist surgery is such that he's flexing all the time. That worries me. No T. Higgins against Kansas City unless something changes. Jamar Chase still knocking some rust off. And in this matchup, which is obviously still a pretty cool game, Cincinnati versus Kansas City, Kansas City's got that elite cornerback, Trent McDuffie. When they play an opponent that has one good wide receiver, Trent McDuffie just shadows that guy, and he's going to shadow Jamar Chase. And that leaves a dearth of receiving targets for Joe Burrow. And I think we got another bad game coming for him. And I got him in one league. I'm not starting. I think this is a spot to – where we have to at this point see Joe Burrow come back and throw well on that wrist.
Back to Thursday night real quick, because we were just also talking about Thursday night games just aren't good, especially as we get deeper and deeper into the season. Can you put kind of an analysis on just how much you want to stay away from Thursday night matchups if you can as a fantasy owner?
I don't. I'm just, Marshall, I'm still playing the matchups every Thursday night. I'm breaking down the defenses and the individual matchups. And so I don't have just like a blanket, I rest my players on Thursday night. A lot of times they do bury bad games on Thursday night. And so we get some woofers out there. But, there are always opportunities, and I try to find them. The big storyline tonight, for sure, is the Miami running back situation. Raheem Mostert out. Devon Achane looks like he won't go. Well, maybe he'll go. It's a game time decision. We don't know for sure. But here's the problem. Even if Achane decides to go, he's the most fragile running back in the NFL. What a huge risk you're going to be taking if you decide to start him. Now, maybe he's going to be good enough, and maybe he'll even take some of Raheem Mostert's carries, and he'll end up with a good game here against a middle of the pack Buffalo run defense. They're way better against the pass than the run. Or maybe Devon Achane, the most brittle back in the NFL, just re-injures his ankle after like two plays. And so the range of outcomes here is massive. If you've got other safer options, I would take them. Jeff Wilson is probably the safe answer among Miami running backs. And if he's available, you could pick him up and start him tonight.
Church, what did you see from Sam Darnold, good and bad?
It was almost entirely good, shockingly good. Completed his first 12 passes to open his career as a member of the Vikings. And what I also liked was Vikings offensive line held up to Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Brian Burns. So even though the Vikings get Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd this week, I feel pretty good about Sam Darnold being able to get some time in the pocket. He was poised. He was accurate. He made fast reads. It was, if you didn't know it was Sam Darnold, you never would have guessed that was a Sam Darnold game. Now, the Vikings will be without Jordan Addison in all probability, re-injured his ankle. They don't have TJ Hawkinson. That part worries me. But here's what we've learned about Kevin O'Connell. They're passing. They don't care. They're going to pass a lot anyway. Niners are an elite run defense. Sam Darnold's going to, just through sheer volume, Sam Darnold remains a startable fantasy asset this week.
Let me draw the focus out a little bit, because I'm just curious about some of these things. After one game, we know that those of us who talk about the games outside of fantasy, we can overreact. We can say things and forget we say them and take them back. But a fantasy owner is going to potentially make a move now that can change the season, that can save a season, that can tank a season. So those reactions are different. How do you balance the opportunism of what you learn early with the pitfalls of acting on it?
I'm a big believer in overreacting to week one. I think most week one teams, I think you see a lot of reality in week one that you haven't known about. And so I make a lot of moves in week one. I respond to it. And most people are like, oh, no, patience. It's a small sample size. Not me. I'm out there making deals. And I'll give you an example. I got Gus Edwards on a couple of leagues. Gus looked bad and J.K. Dobbins looked pretty darn good. I'm reacting to that. Gus had just 2.4 yards per carry. He had the league's second worst rushing yards over expectation. I'm punting Gus, even though I was optimistic he was going to be like a goal line guy and a run heavy Chargers offense. Don't care. I believe in what my eyes tell me, and I react to week one, and I encourage fantasy owners to do the same.
Good. I'm glad I asked, because I've always been, I imagine that there are people who disagree with you, who say to be more conservative in that regard, but I like 100%. It. You can be that and own it.
This just means I'm going to keep Saquon Barkley. Thank you for cementing that.
You should keep Saquon Barkley. Man, did he look good. He's my number one ranked running back for this week. It's so refreshing to see Saquon Barkley look healthy, run behind a good offensive line. The three touchdowns last week. Yeah, Saquon looks like he's back.
Where do you have Caleb Williams ranked this week?
Oh, boy.
That means not near the top.
Yeah, I'm sorting right now.
He's definitely in the 20s.
He's past the
he's
first
definitely
page.
22.
He's 22. Yeah, he's in the 20s. Okay. Yeah, it's not great. 22. Yeah, it just, again, Houston's a really good pass defense, and I need to see it at this. And by the way, can we run Caleb Williams a little bit more? I mean, okay, Jaden Daniels 16 rushes in his first NFL game. I really feel like the Bears missed some opportunities with Caleb's rushing.
Chark, he was running. He was running for his life.
Man, he's right. Yeah, running for his life. How about some designed runs? More designed runs for Caleb Williams. Are you listening to that?
I don't think he wants to.
Yeah, he wants to throw.
I don't think he would. This isn't Justin Fields.
This is the opposite of Justin
Fields.
Yeah,
I don't think he wants to.
You know what? But here's the thing. He's got wheels and he can do it. And you break defenses in ways that you can't with a pocket passer. I don't know.
You also get broken as a quarterback if you take off running too much.
Well, okay. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think the most dangerous place for a passer is the pocket. And yeah, when you're out weaving downfield, sure, things can happen, but you get blindsided in the pocket all the time. I know guys do get hurt running around. Lamar Jackson gets dinged up every year, but Josh Allen doesn't. Jalen Hurts doesn't. And maybe, you know, I don't think it's an automatic that quarterbacks get hurt the more they run.
Charge, thank you as always. Much appreciated. We will talk next Thursday.
Yeah, thanks, friends. Bye-bye.
That is Paul Charchian. Always enjoy having him try to make sure our fantasy teams are optimized, and yours specifically.
Definitely mine specifically. I was just concerned that he's concerned about the Bears, and we're concerned about the Bears. It seems like everyone's on the same page with the Bears and the offense right now.
Hey, big thanks, by the way. I mentioned there's all kinds of food here on the plaza of Lake Street at Prue. And one of the food kiosks is Gale V's grilled cheese.
No, it's Gale V's best grilled cheese ever, and it lives up to its name.
Well, the actual Gale V is making the grilled cheese, and she was kind enough to bring some down here. I've never had it before. My goodness.
It's the apple that sets that off the pulled pork.
It's the bread. I mean, it's like everything is great about this. This is just perfect. So thanks, Jared. I know you're a big fan. You want to take a picture with her?
I took a picture with her. I've been down there because it's in Block 37 where I used to work, and I never met Gail V. So I was like, let me get a pic. Like, I love small businesses.
Yeah, and I've got the pulled pork grilled cheese with that apple slaw. My God, is this good. Next up, Pat Tomasulo is going to join us and tell us about his charity event that is coming up. And this show is offering a special opportunity as part of it. We look forward to having the WGN Morning Sportsman on next. Marshall Harris in for Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Like you, I must be Irish because my name's Pat. But I'm not. I'm Polish. Have a nice day.
Okay. You too. Let's talk with Pat Tomasulo. He is on Twitter, at Pat Tomasulo. WGN's morning news sports anchor has yet another big day coming up called the Laugh Your Face Off Comedy Fundraiser to benefit the Facial Pain Research Foundation. And Pat joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com and Twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Hi again, Pat. How are you?
Thank you for having me on. Marshall, good to talk with you for the first time.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to talk to you. I see you every morning when I'm in the studio doing the morning show. And otherwise, I'm just not up early enough, Pat.
Listen, I wish I wasn't up that early, but somebody's got to pay this mortgage around here. So here we are.
Now, Pat, was that I thought it was you when I was out. We were dog sitting. This was in the middle of the summer, and I was doing the morning walk with a dog, and you were, like, in a van with a bunch of jamokes, and I don't know what was – and I heard somebody yell at me out the window. I presumed it was you.
You're going to have to be a lot more specific because I've been in that scenario at least a half dozen times over the last year. I think I do remember it. I think you reached out. Yeah, it was right near the station, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, right? Because you
– Right in the corner.
You know,
I looked up and I said, I think you yelled Bernstein sucks.
Right.
And I'm not saying you're wrong.
Well, and also having had that yelled at me a number of times in 19 years, you learn not to turn around most of the time. So I figured you just assumed it was some jamoke who was yelling at you. And I thought you handled it right.
No, it turned out it was actually a very specific jamoke.
Yeah.
Who it was has, You can see you got something very cool coming up, and with the Laugh Your Face Off comedy fundraiser. And once again, this show, the Bernstein Home Show, is proud to offer a producer for a day that is available now at the what is a silent auction that is currently live online. Tell us about this cause, why it's important to you, and who we're going to be helping.
Yeah, well, first off, I will let you know that you and Spiegel are both offering the same package and you're neck and neck. So I'll say that. However much the two of you want to promote is up to you. Now, we started this. It's Laugh Your Face Off. We started this in 2015, and it's to raise research funds for trigeminal neuralgia, which is a extremely rare, extremely painful, debilitating neuropathic facial pain condition. Doctors call it the worst pain known to mankind. Some call it the suicide disease. My wife, Amy, has had it since 2001. And she, unfortunately, you know, there are some treatments for it. There are some meds and some surgical procedures and more invasive procedures that work for some people. But she, unfortunately, like so many of the patients we work with, is really untreatable at this point. So we raised this money to go to the Facial Pain Research Foundation, which is the only group in the world that's dedicated solely to funding research. I'm now one of the executive trustees of that foundation, so I help run that foundation. And this is our biggest fundraiser. And this is year 10. So far, we've raised $3.75 million for research.
Wow. That is phenomenal. When you talk about rare things like this, what are some of the things that you want people to know about what your wife and others have gone through and why it's so important to target so specifically?
Yeah, well, what I could tell you is that, you know, especially for people who have more severe cases, it destroys your entire life. I mean, it really does. There's no other way I can put it except that every day, you know, her life is hell every day. And it's just a matter of people say, oh, she haven't any good. There's no good days. It's just what kind of level of bad day you're having, right? And thankfully, my wife is I mean, she is nails, man. This woman is the toughest person I've ever met in my life. And she handles it. But it's, you know, people are really having their lives turned upside down by this disease. A lot of people go years without a diagnosis. We have one woman on our committee who went 19 years without a diagnosis because so many dentists and doctors are uneducated about it. So, you know, I think I would want people to know that it really is a horrific, horrific thing. And even the treatments that do work, you know, they're not great. The medications are awful side effects. The procedures can sometimes leave people worse. So it is something that woefully needs attention.
And I think I mentioned this last year, Pat, when we talked, that as somebody who has had bouts of cluster headache, which is a trigeminal nerve issue, the treatments and the science have come a long way from thinking that it first of all was histamine related, and then using some calf ergot medicines. Now some of the experimental work that's being done with psilocybin and some previously scheduled hallucinogens that were not able to be experimented on. We're hoping that some of the laws are going to change to allow some of these. So I wish I didn't understand some of that as well as I do. Thankfully, it's been a while, but this is the kind of thing that you really just don't wish on anyone because of its severity.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if you've ever had, like, think about, like, if anybody's listening out there, like, everybody has had a horrible toothache, right? Like, I remember when I had my my wisdom teeth taken out, I had a dry socket, where the nerve is exposed. And the pain is a very, very specific kind of awful pain. And if anybody's ever had that, multiply that by 100. Mm-hmm. And that's what these people are experiencing. They say it feels like your face is hooked up to a car battery. Lightning is striking it. It's electricity running through your face. I mean, you could watch videos online of people having attacks. You know, it brings them to their knees.
So let's have fun with it now. Let's talk about it. But that's what I love is when you call it laugh your face off, it is your way of literally laughing in the face of something like this. What are we going to do to help raise money for research?
Well, the big thing is we do the event every year. This is it's sold out. So the tickets we just sold out yesterday, as a matter of fact. But we have this silent auction that is open to anybody. You just go to laughyourfaceoff.org. Anybody, anywhere can bid. You can be in California, New York, wherever you are. You don't have to be present to win. And I will say that, like, we have 150 prizes. We have stuff from $25 up until, you know, $5,000. But the experience packages to me, I mean, some of the stuff we have on there, you guys donated some packages. Tom Skilling donated a dinner with him. We got a package where you can play Bozo Buckets live on the morning show and meet Joey Deoria himself. Sebastian Maniscalco donated a meet and greet and tickets to his show. Tons of comics did that. Chris Chelios donated a five-hour cruise for 12 on his yacht. Every team in town donated a VIP package. Every big restaurant, hotel, jewelry, vacations, and every, you know, it's like you go in there, buy some cool stuff, and all the money goes to us. It's all tax deductible.
Well, I know that our show is going to tweet out the link to our donation of that producer for a day. We love to have our winner last year who had a terrific time, and I hope that people bid as much as they can on any of the fabulous items that are available. FacingFacialPain.org. Pat, as always, thank you, and I wish you and your wife and the organization the best in these efforts. It's always anything we can do to help.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Pat Tomasulo. Next up, back to football. Matt Bowen will tell us what is fixable about this Bears offense and just what kind of a challenge it's going to face in the Houston Texans. That's next on The Score.